Good evening, as we begin our online journey with the Lord through this holy week of our salvation. We were to have had the Right Reverend John Madole, Bishop of Clogher and Archbishop-elect of Armagh, visiting our group of parishes in person throughout the week as our devotional speaker. Regrettably, the present government restrictions in the midst of the current medical emergency have made that impossible. However, we are very fortunate that the Archbishop-elect will be speaking to us over the next 3 nights by way of recording. He will be giving a series of addresses, Seeing Jesus. We wish Bishop John well as he prepares to take up his new appointment and look forward to his ministry of the word throughout the week. May the grace, healing, and forgiveness of the Lord be with you this holy week.
And also with you.
O Saviour of the world, who by your cross and precious blood has redeemed us,
save us and help us, we humbly pray.
Tonight we remember a scene in the Gospels where a woman anoints Jesus with precious perfume, as though preparing him for his death and burial. This is a reminder to us in this week of all weeks that the great love of Jesus in giving all for us calls forth our love and devotion and our offering of all that is of value to us, not least our hearts and our lives. We sing the hymn, O Thou Who Through This Holy Week. Lord God, you sent your Son to reconcile us to yourself and one another. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you heal the wounds of sin and division. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Holy Spirit, through you we put to death the sins of the body and live. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Jesus, Lamb of God,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, bearer of our sins,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, Redeemer of the world,
grant us peace.
Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of his cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Responsorial Psalm, number 36. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness stands like strong mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, shall save both man and beast. How precious is your loving mercy, O God! All mortal flesh shall take refuge under the shadow of your wings. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. They shall be satisfied with the abundance of your house. They shall drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the well of life, and in your light shall we see light. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. O continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to those who are true of heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, nor the hand of the ungodly thrust me away. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds.
Good evening on this Monday of Holy Week, and we're going to be, over the next three nights, trying to consider the theme of watching Jesus through the readings from St. John's Gospel that are set for those days. From the 12th chapter of St. John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth 300 denarii. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, a keeper of the money bag who used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. This is the word of the Lord.
We say the song of Christ's glory. Christ Jesus was in the form of God, but he did not cling to equality with God. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and was born in our human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
No matter which of the versions we read of the anointing at Bethany, whether from John, as we have just done, or from Mark, where the action takes place in the house of Simon the leper, the first thing we are struck by is how what Mary did deeply moved Jesus. What happened in the house was preceded by an account of the bitter hatred of Jesus' enemies, and it's followed there, as we hear, by an account of the treachery of his friends. Friends like us gathered in that house to watch Jesus. His enemies were watching too. Watching, it would seem, to take him without causing a major incident. Watching for an opportunity, which they eventually got, to take him quietly. And the treachery that allowed that to happen is connected with the anointing in the house at Bethany. And as we shall see, Judas was one of those, but not the only one, who misread what Mary did. But I don't want to dwell on Judas tonight. He's not who we're watching. We're watching Jesus and we're watching Mary. The net of his enemies is slowly closing around Jesus. And in these circumstances, he is given a dinner by a circle of his close friends. It's impossible to know how far they appreciated the seriousness of the circumstances or had any real idea of what was just around the corner for Jesus. He had spoken of his death from time to time, although it appears to have had little impact on the minds of those close to him. And it's at least as likely that they expected something much more positive to happen in the days ahead in Jerusalem. So to all intents and purposes, Jesus is alone. He sat at table with his friends, but what was on his mind was not at all on their minds. That's one of the experiences and trials which we all have had a share in, to sit among smiling faces and cheerful voices with a secret sorrow or with a weight in our lives, and feeling even more alone because we feel we cannot share it. We bear our own burdens and don't foist them on others. Although I hope none of you is doing that now at this time. Someone will help you with the burden. Please share. Yet it seems as though there was a feeling of tension in that room, a tension which was broken by what Mary did. It's described in a lovely poetic phrase in the old authorised version of Mark. Then came a woman, having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. In John's version, as we've heard, it was on his feet. Because anointing isn't a Western custom, especially in the climate that you will have in County Down, you probably can't appreciate just how refreshing it would feel in a land of dusty heat. But in any case, this was no ordinary anointing. It was made special by the costliness of the ointment and the lavish generosity with which it was poured out. Apparently not a word was said. The act itself was all that was necessary, at least to those who were in the frame of mind to understand it. Mary owed the Lord what she could never repay. She had sat at his feet and heard his word. From his hand she had received her brother again from the dead. And it's hardly a wild guess to think that she had a better sense than all the others, intuition, that Jesus could not be with them for long, and that she must do something to express her gratitude. The ointment was nothing. She was pouring out her heart at Jesus' feet. And as with every extravagant act of generosity, Mary's was understood by some, misunderstood by others. Perhaps we shouldn't be too hard or too quick to judge. Perhaps we can sympathise with the begrudgers. The average Irish prod has more than a little bit of scepticism about him or her. But it's epitomised in Judas's reaction, but it's not his alone. Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Or as Mark says, why this waste? But it's the judgment of a cramped mind on an action that had come from Mary's great heart and soul. Perhaps all who thought it or said it were ashamed the moment the word waste passed their lips, and they tried to cover their embarrassment by a reference to the poor. We have all done that at some time or another, justified our meanness by an appeal to prudence. Don't they realise there's an emergency on, we say these days. Anyway, we must remember these were poor men, and to see the equivalent of a whole year's wages squandered on an impulse probably threw them in their judgment, to say the least. And perhaps on another occasion their judgment would have been correct. Indeed, on another occasion Jesus had said, "Gather up all the fragments so that nothing is lost." But generosity is not waste. Generosity is not the ostentatious extravagance of the rich. It is the giving of a little more that we can afford by all of us. Because the heart too needs to be nourished by the kind of giving that looks for nothing in return. And the hope of the poor and much of the world today rests on the generosity of human hearts. It was Mary who wasted the ointment, and Judas who put forward the case for the poor. But who will believe that Judas was a better friend of the poor than Mary? There is such a thing as senseless extravagance. Most of us have lived until very recently in the middle of it, and have been fully part of it, myself included. We have created a society where a person's value is gauged by what they consume, not by what they are or what they produce. And that's waste to be judged by another set of criteria. But that's not the case in the house in Bethany. And Jesus rises to Mary's defence. He speaks more fully in Mark. "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. Amen, amen. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." So it was not only the right thing to do, it was a lovely and beautiful thing to do. And the house was filled with the odour of the ointment, and the fragrance of this beautiful act has never faded from the church. You can nearly smell it in County Down, 2,000 years later. And perhaps there is this lesson too, that all of the people in the house in Bethany, the one who was deepest in sympathy with Jesus, was the one the rest couldn't understand. Mary saw her opportunity to show her devotion to her King. She saw it and she seized it. And Jesus not only accepts it, but glorifies in it. And he glorifies it because the act of Mary illustrates both the gospel and the character of God from whom the gospel comes. It's told as a memorial of Mary, but it also reveals Jesus. It helps us to see him more clearly. I have no doubt that it has been preserved in the canon of the New Testament as a characteristic page in his life, showing us not what he thought was morally right, but what he thought was morally lovely. And of course, his power to evoke that loveliness, that beauty, to create it in the people who were near to him. So when, in this week of weeks, we look at his life, the tears he shed over those who were unmoved by him, the patience with which he sought after those who refused to be found, the love he lavished on those who would not love him in return, we might also ask, why this waste? But there is nothing sensible in the love of God. So maybe it's not a bad way to test what we are, to ask whether we have ever done anything impulsive or extravagant out of love. Have we ever done such a thing for our mother, or our wives, or our church, or our community, for a stranger, or for a friend? And if we have, that's a good omen. If not, I don't suppose we'll ever have a better opportunity than at the present time, when so many need our extravagant help. Eternal life, the life that lives in God, doesn't belong to the economists, but to those who spend their lives with an open hand in a cause that is greater than life itself, as we shall see tomorrow night.
We respond to the ministry of God's word by affirming our faith. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted himself to God, who judges justly. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed, for we are straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. We sing the hymn, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" Let us pray. Let us bring to our Father our prayers of intercession through Jesus Christ, who gave himself for the world. For forgiveness for the many times we have denied Jesus, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For grace to seek out those habits of sin which mean spiritual death, and by prayer and self-discipline to overcome them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who make laws, interpret them, that our common life may be ordered in justice and mercy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who still make Jerusalem a battleground, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have the courage and honesty to work openly for justice and peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those at the present time in the darkness and agony of isolation, that they may find support and encouragement, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who weighed down with regret, hardship, failure, or sorrow, feel that God is far from them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are tempted to give up the way of the cross, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we, with those who have died in faith, may find mercy in the day of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. Have mercy, O Lord, on all who bear high office and abuse its authority, all who plot courses of political action for the sole purpose of protecting their own positions, all who persecute prophets because of the evil they expose, all who manufacture a lie for public consumption, all who treat prophets and public alike as pawns and puppets, on all such everywhere, O Lord, have mercy. Help them to worship truth and to give God the glory. Teach them to know and to understand, to believe and to trust, that for the mighty as for the meek, it is only by losing our life that we find it, only by dying that we live, only by following Christ that we lead men and women. For his name's sake. Amen. Amen. O God our Father, all holy, all loving, all merciful, you gave your only Son for the salvation of humankind. Look mercifully on us, your servants, as we bow in penitence before his cross. As we focus our hearts and minds on that cross, give us faith to behold him in the mystery of his passion and to enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. Let his wounds be our healing, his death be our life, his shame be our glory, that we may also partake in the victory of his resurrection to the honor and glory of your holy name. Heavenly Father, we are aware of the suffering of those around us, and especially of those, both young and old, who are ill, having been infected by the coronavirus. Also of all who have been bereaved by the loss of loved ones who didn't recover, and of all key workers who are in danger when going about their many and various tasks in treating or in supporting the vulnerable. Give patience and sympathy to doctors, nurses, carers, cleaners, and all who are continuing your work in clinics and hospitals here and throughout the world. Give inspiration to those researching new ways to combat the virus. Give endurance and compassion to all who care for the sick and infirm who follow in your steps. Jesus Christ, our healer and redeemer. Amen. Almighty and merciful God, who in days of old didst give to this land the benediction of thy holy church, withdraw not, we pray thee, thy favour from us, but so correct what is amiss, and supply what is lacking, that we may more and more bring forth fruit to thy glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as our Saviour Christ has commanded and taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The Story of the Cross, Part 1, The Question.
See him in raiment rent, with his blood dyed. Women walk sorrowing by his side. Heavy the cross to him, weary the weight. One who will help him stands at the gate. Multitudes hurrying pass on the road. Simon is sharing with him the load. Who is this traveling with the cursed tree? This weary prisoner, who is he?
Christ, draw you to himself, and grant that you find in his cross a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. We thank you for being with us this evening. Our next service will be tomorrow, when the Bishop of Clogher will continue his series of addresses, Seeing Jesus. We look forward to you joining us then. Thank you.